We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the House of Hoosier podcast. It is postseason time and we're here to give you a preview of the Big Ten tournament alongside Ben Haller. I am Austin Platt here, Field of 68 Podcast Network. You know where to find us. What a week in Indiana basketball. I mean, the Indiana basketball experience never fails to just a complete roller coaster of emotions. And that was on full display, highs and lows, and Indiana right now on a high after a four-game winning streak. Capped off by the senior day victory, 65-64 over Michigan State. Ben, first off, you were not on the last episode. I brought on Will Foley from the IDS to talk about the Liam McNeely news decommitting. Obviously, a big loss for Indiana and their now non-existent class of 2024 recruiting class. So I guess first off, before we get with some positives, let's start with the bad news. What were your thoughts on the McNeely stuff and what it means for the program moving forward?
Yeah, it's tough to not have anyone in that class. The first thing that jumps off the page to me that really caught my mind was just the fact that the timing of it and the fact that he decommitted the day after Mike Woodson left. Now there's a whole bunch of different kind of ideas that you could throw in your mind there. I don't know how much the timing really matters. I don't know if the two things are correlated or not. It's just one of those things that we don't know as of right now and probably will never know. It's tough. I'm going to wait, I think, to hold up total judgment until I see what happens with the transfer portal. It's sort of like a second recruitment. I know a lot of people are kind of saying that it's not as stable. And yeah, getting transfer portal guys is great, but you only get it for 1 or 2 years and all that. But where Indiana's at right now, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world to have to rely on the portal a little bit, at least as opposed to some other scenarios and situations and teams that have had to rely on the portal. But that being said, I do think it's going to be really tough for him to get what he needs to be able to make this okay. I mean, it's not having a single player in that recruiting class. I get it with the numbers. The whole commitment thing is hard. You have a player that you think is coming in. You have no reason to believe that he's not coming in. That's why sometimes it's big to have couple of backups. A lot of times you have some guys in the recruiting class that end up transferring in the first or second of years because they don't get a ton of playing time for the first couple of years. But reasons like this is kind of why those exist and why you have to kind of play the scholarship numbers out right. And I just don't think he did that. I think there are a lot of people that out there that I kind of want to use the excuse that he's just a little lazy. I don't know how much I actually buy into that. I do think he's out there recruiting hard, but it's tough. I mean, he's getting up there in age. Everyone knows about the hip surgery. It's just tough for him to move around. It is a really weird situation. I don't know how much of that stuff actually matters, but I do think it's interesting. And I'm gonna wait to hold off total judgment until after the transfer portal closes at in the end of the summer. But right now, it's not looking good.
I said it on Friday. It was kind of a shot below the belt considering what Indiana had done. Obviously, the news, kind of all strange timeline. The news that he'd return, Woodson reported by Zach Osmer, the Indy Star, came hours before the game against Minnesota, which was just odd timing. Obviously, the Hoosiers go in, blow out the Golden Gophers, play one of their best games of the year, and then 24 hours later, McNeely with the bombshell news that kind of shook Hoosier Nation. And obviously, a lot of people pointing fingers, this, that, the other thing, saying the program is in shambles. It's a complete downhill. But all of that was put to bed. It was a kind of rough freak all around for Indiana Athletics. But on Sunday, Indiana got the job done on Senior Day. Second straight year, it's a complete nail-biter. 65-64, Indiana beats Michigan State. They got off to a big first-half lead. Watched it slip away, but ended up holding on. Khalil Ware with a free throw. And they get a stop at the very end. Xavier Johnson dribbles out the clock. And Indiana, on an emotional Senior Day, comes away with a win. Ben, I didn't watch a single second of this game. I was preoccupied. I listened to Don Fisher's call at the very end. I got an alert on my phone that the game was going to overtime. I turned the radio on, and Don Fisher says, there's a minute left. ESPN gave me the alert that it was 64-64 going into overtime. And then I turn on the radio. I'm like, how is there already a minute left of overtime? I guess I was just completely off. ESPN didn't trust Khalil Ware's ability to make free throws, I guess. But he ended up knocking one down at the end. The Hoosiers get a stop. But obviously another great start for IU, kind of similar to the Wisconsin game. And then they lose the lead, but still hold on. I want to impress you from this game. This is a good Michigan State team. The metrics obviously love the Spartans, even though they have like the same or similar-ish resume to Indiana. But that's a solid, another quad one win now. Four straight Indiana has on their resume. But what are your overall reactions as a down goes Sparty?
The biggest thing for me that jumped off the page was just the defense. I think it's one of those things where it's easy to look at the box score. It's easy to look at the final score and see that they gave up 64 points and say, oh, yeah, that's really good defense. I think that's not always telling. I think you could see in other games that Indiana has played really good defense, but the offense is just better, made a lot of shots. And I think it works vice versa. I think sometimes you can give up less than 70 points, but it's just because it was really bad offense. But I think early, Indiana just got Michigan State out of the rhythm. And that's one of the things that they had struggled with beginning half of the Big Ten season, I'd say, is just letting teams get early open shots. And what that does, it just builds confidence. It lets teams get hot. Even if you do adjust the defense, those teams are already hot and already in a rhythm. It can be tough to stop them. But from the beginning, Indiana got off to a really good start, and that all started defensively. I think Michigan State missed like six of their first seven shots on their first seven possessions. They couldn't get anything. Indiana rebounded really well too, which is something that had been a little shaky up to this point in the year. But I think it's one of those things where this is where Xavier Johnson can really help the team too. The defense and the backcourt that he's provided. And I think you saw that too. Michigan State, you know, the tough kind of start that they had to the year, and everyone thought they would pick it up. I don't know. I haven't necessarily seen a ton from them. But what's undisputed is that they have really good guards. And I think Xavier Johnson, Gabe Cups, Anthony Leal, and Trey Galley was hurt for a large part of this game. But I think everybody did a good job in the backcourt defensively. And that's where it all starts. We know what Malik Renew could do. Khalil Ware, he's going to have games like this. He really impressed me today. I think it's a bittersweet kind of performance for Khalil Ware because it's almost solidifies him. I think getting drafted at a pretty decent spot in this year's draft where I think he will go. But all around, really good for Indiana. And all the offense, I think, is great. But I think it all stems from how great they played defensively, especially early.
I held Michigan State to under 40% shooting. Renew, 16 points. Mbako, 13 points. They got up to such a hot start shooting the ball from downtown. And the free throws weren't great. The three-point shooting was better for Indiana. It took 17 threes, which is quite a mark, but still being able to beat Michigan State and complete this four-game winning streak. Not a ton of people really had Indiana to win this game, but still very impressive. Xavier Johnson playing starter minutes off the bench, 29 minutes, just 3 points. Trey Galloway, obviously that's one of the biggest things. Obviously that injury to him, he went out after just 7 minutes, did not return. Was it a knee or ankle? Which one was it?
I don't remember. He was grabbing at his right leg. I can't remember if it was knee or ankle.
Obviously, he made some headlines after the game with the announcement that he's coming back. But to see Indiana kind of, after losing him, to fight back and win, obviously, Anthony Walker played only 4 minutes. That was a big injury concern. He looked like a really scary injury against Minnesota when he went down at the barn and his left knee kind of buckled and you kind of feared for the worst. But it seems like the Hoosiers, who have played their best basketball in March, it feels like Mike Woodson has gotten his team to do that all 3 years, kind of, it seems like, getting all the guys clicking at the right time. And obviously Indiana playing with the quote-unquote full deck helps, obviously, barring any serious injury to Galloway. And we don't know Walker's status completely for the Big Ten tournament, but to see Indiana play well without Galloway is a pretty good sign, considering the way he's been passing the ball as of late, Ben.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where this, not only with Xavier Johnson, is it you don't haven't had him for the last 10 or so games. You also, it's hard to get into a rhythm. Even adding that one guy after taking him away for a while messes things up just in terms of the way the offense flows. And I think with Galloway, that's one of the things to be concerned about. But I think he's such a vital part of this offense. I was really impressed with how Indiana was able to respond offensively with him out of the game. He went out. They were a little rough offensively to start. But then I think that halftime hit, I think they kind of developed a little bit of a different game plan. And I think the offense flowed a lot better in the second half, even with Galloway out. It's hard to say right now, just not knowing the severity of the injury. They have a decent break, which is nice too. They don't play till Thursday, which is tomorrow when this is coming out. So that'll help them a little bit. But then this is where it's just, even if in a normal week in the regular season, it's like he's hurt and then he can play one game or at least get minutes in the next game. If Indiana wants to make the tournament, they're definitely going to have to play four games, or rather, four games in 4 days. They might not have to win four games in 4 days. We're still up in the air, but they're definitely going to have to play four games in 4 days, which is just tough when you're coming off an injury like that. Like I said, I just don't know. I can't say a lot about it with not knowing much about it right now.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Let's move on now to that postseason talk. First off, obviously the news came out that after the game, Anthony Leal, Trey Galloway both announced they're back. Mike Woodson didn't even know who was going through senior day. It turned out that all four of the guys who could have left, it could have been their last games at Assembly Hall, all spoke, some of them a lot longer than others. But Anthony Leal kept it simple and said, I don't have to give this speech until next year, which I don't think came as a surprise to many. There was scuttlebutt that Galloway might be leaving, but he gave the long-winded speech and then downshifted and said, hold on, this is not the time for me to go out. So to the delight of the crowd, he's back for another year. This was maybe a little bit of a surprise to people, but I think the trajectory now looks really good for Indiana because you're losing Ware. Johnson and Anthony Walker are both gone, but to get Galloway back, definitely you could tell the mood of the locker room probably saved Galloway and, really kind of convinced him to come back and probably saved Mike Woodson's job. Not that there was really any doubt necessarily that he was going to go, but there were definitely rumors swirling that maybe his time was going to be cut short. But your thoughts on especially Galloway coming back and what it means potentially going forward for the recruiting class and maybe other guys that are currently on this team maybe decide to stay, knowing that a captain who's most likely going to be a captain again next year is coming back for year five.
I think you touched on it. I think one of the biggest things with Galloway coming back, at least the timing of the announcement, is just the fact that it's going to help the locker room a lot. It's going to build excitement. It's going to build team morale a little bit. And this is a time, at least this year, where you really need it the most, not even talking about next year and him actually coming back. But I think the announcement's great for Indiana. I think it comes at a great time, especially that day before Michigan State. I'm sure the players knew, I don't know how far ahead of the Michigan State game, but at some point ahead of the Michigan State game, but Sunday was just such a great atmosphere too. And it's Indiana basketball. You're always going to get that, but it just, things had gone so wrong for Indiana. And then they get the 3-game win streak. And then you get the news about Liam McNeely. And it was just tough. Fans were up in the air. The vibe around Indiana basketball was a little off, But I think something like Sunday just helps it so much going into the Big Ten tournament, which I think is just what makes Indiana basketball so special. As for the team next year, it's going to be interesting to see how this changes the approach in the transfer portal. The first 3 years, Woodson's been a three out, two in kind of guy. He even doubled down on saying he still thinks college basketball is played inside out, which I think to an extent is true. I think fans are taking that statement a little bit out of proportion, and just the fact that you can play inside out, four out, one in, which I think, and I at least hope, is what his plan is going to be next year, with a renew at the five and then fill the other four spots with guards and wings. Which I think Galloway coming back, adding just that defensive stability, and then the kind of ability to break out he has offensively. I know he didn't have a great shooting season. He did last year, but a lot of them were on open looks. But it's still somebody you have to respect from distance and somebody you have to guard, which when you have four different guards or wings that could do that, that's big, and that could open it up for whoever Woodson wants to target in this upcoming class for transfer portal.
Yeah, I think it kind of simplifies things for Indiana. Obviously, everything was simplified last year with Xavier Johnson coming back, but I think Renew comes back for sure. We could talk about this when the season ends, but I think just kind of the eye test would tell you, or maybe just the initial report, that I think Renew comes back. You have to try and get Mbako back. You really got to try and get him. I don't worry about as much. Mbako a little bit, maybe to the NBA. So that's someone I think you really have to target. But if you have Galloway, you're going to get Ja'Kai Newton healthy, assuming he stays, which I doubt he leaves, considering the expectation around him. If you kind of go after a center and a point guard in the portal, along with some other guys, you don't know who else is going to transfer from the role players and the bench guys. But I think it simplifies things for Mike Woodson. I think that's what we need, considering that we know Woody, we mentioned, is on the older side, is recruiting. The stories that we've heard as of late, not very good, considering the guys that Indiana nearly had. One of them was just named SEC Player of the Year. Let's not talk about that. But I think it simplifies things for Mike Woodson in the program, and much-needed confidence and much-needed boost. And who knows what happens next. But that's obviously after the season. Indiana's season, they hope, is still far from over. The Hoosiers head of the Big Ten tournament. The resume right now, things have changed since the last time we've talked. Indiana at 18-13 overall, they finished 10-10 in the conference, which, I mean, they were 6-10. Nobody thought this team would be anywhere close. And we said at the beginning of the year, Ben, kind of 10, 11 wins. And I don't think we were kind of, not that it was never in doubt, but we were all over it. So we got to give ourselves a little bit of credit. But Indiana right now, 18-13, 4-6 on the road, 1-2 on the neutral floor, obviously MSG, and then the game in Atlanta against Auburn. But 3-8 in quad one games. Maryland has dropped to 77 in the net, so that win on the road just outside of quad one. So 3-8 in quad one, obviously this game against Michigan State counts as a quad one win. Minnesota also outside the top 75 right now. They're at 86, Indiana 93 in the net. Hoosiers 5-4 in quad two, 4-1 in quad three, and then 6-0 in quad four. Obviously the only quad three loss, the big blemish on the schedule, that home loss to Michigan State. Before we look at the matchups in the bracket and where Indiana is, we talked about Indiana's path potentially to the NCAA tournament. Should they not win the Big Ten tourney? It's back and forth here. Obviously, 3-8 is really not great in quad one. The metrics aren't fantastic considering the way they've lost these games and the overall margin of victory in most of the games this year. I was back and forth on this, but only three quad one wins. Maryland probably has to. Obviously, you're rooting for Maryland on, I believe, the other side of the bracket for Indiana that wants to be a quad one. But I'm still in the boat. I think Indiana still has to win this tournament. I think the only chance you would have gotten that they don't have to win is you beat Purdue in a semi and then get to the championship. But, I mean, let's be honest, Indiana has a pretty big pull, you'd imagine, from the committee just because of the name and the eyeballs. And obviously, I think Indiana fans would be more than happy to go to Dayton again. Obviously, 2 years ago, they won in Dayton, but the travel horrors really made it difficult against St. Mary's. But obviously, we know that the pull Indiana has, was the most watched first four game in history 2 years ago. But I'm under the impression that Indiana still has to win this tournament. The net only went up by four, I think. They were at 97. They moved to 93. We mentioned, you said this a few weeks ago, Ben, that Indiana would have to be in the top 70 of the net. And sure, three You know, be three if they win. I mean, they don't win the tournament, they're going to probably get two quad one wins. Penn State, Michigan, they play the winner of, would not be a quad one win, but I think they still need to win the tournament. I'm hoping, I don't have to necessarily be correct there, but I've been a little bit more of an optimist in that sense compared to you, because I'm usually the internal pessimist. But what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, well, you brought up the net is the biggest thing right now, and you look at their last few quad one wins, and or the only few quad one wins, and they're moving up after those wins by an average of like four spots. So if you keep that moving forward, even if they make the championship, they're sitting at what, 93 or 94 right now. I just don't see – it could be close. I just don't see them sneaking into the top 70. Now, we talk about this top 70 number, how important that is. That's only the worst team of the net that has ever made the NCAA tournament. Even if you make it to 70, you sit in that 65 to 70 range, it is still far-fetched that the committee is going to even look at you. I just think I saw an Ant Wright tweet earlier that I thought was really interesting. It's all about margin of victory. We knew that it meant something to the net. I don't think we knew that it meant this much to the net, especially when you compare that Indiana and Michigan State resume. That's really, I think, the most puzzling part of it right now. I'll read Ant Wright's tweet out. He was talking about why their net was so low, and here's some of the highlights of the margin of victory. They only beat FGCU, who's 245 of the net, by six. They only beat number 339 of the net. I think that was Army, by eight. They beat 214 of the net by eight, 127 of the net only by three. And they got blown out by a couple of the higher teams in the net as well when you look at UConn and you look at Auburn. And Ant Wright brings up an interesting point. He said he wonders if Indiana would be better off losing one of those games, like to FGCU, and the other six or seven of these games that are on the list, beating them just because of that margin of victory. There are some teams that have that quad three, quad four loss that are higher than Indiana. Indiana, I think, has that one quad three loss to Penn State. But that's still not a bad quad three loss when you look at all the quad three losses that other teams have. The margin of victory is just concerning to me. I think if they make it to the championship, it might be enough for the committee to look at them, but I don't think there's anything on the Indiana resume that jumps out to you, even if they do make it to the championship.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 as we all get ready for the best month of the year, March Madness. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD150 and you will get $150 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $5 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD150. That's FIELD150. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $150 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD150 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available in one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in Philly or New York, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create a new account in each state. It's easy, it's simple, and it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the conference tournaments and for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boost, and my personal favorite, a nice little parlay boost here and there. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Big news, guys. I am thrilled to announce that we have partnered with Autograph, a company founded by the GOAT himself, Tom Brady. The Autograph fandom app gives you access to the best college hoops content, fan contests, and exclusive rewards like discounted tickets, all for doing the things that diehard fans like you already do, following your favorite team in the news and listening to podcasts just like this one. When Tom, and yes, I am calling him Tom, we're on a first name basis these days, co-founded Autograph, he had one mission in mind: change the fan experience for the better. It works like this. You get all of your college hoops content you want, in one place. You get articles from your favorite writers, pods from your favorite hosts, contests from your favorite creators, all on the feeds and the sites that you already enjoy. But instead of having to go to all these different places, it all comes to you in one spot, the Autograph Fandom app. But here's the best part. The more content that you consume, the higher you rank in the app. As you consider the level up in status on the app, you can unlock unique rewards curated exclusively for you. So download the free Autograph app in the App Store and use the referral code F68, that's F68, or tap in at the link in the description below or in the podcast app of your choosing to start earning points for doing something as normal as listening to this very podcast.
Well, enough about the what-ifs. Let's just go in the Big Ten tournament. How about that? So the path begins. Indiana will play Thursday. The Hoosiers are the sixth seed, believe it or not, and 10-10 in this Big Ten. With Indiana got pretty good head-to-head. Indiana is the sixth-ranked team, the sixth-seeded team in this tournament. So credit to the Hoosiers, a top-half finish, which we expected going into the year, and we figured Indiana could challenge for a top-four spot. And it was not that way. They were kind of scrambling to get out of those first games on Wednesday. But Indiana's path looks like this. They are the sixth seed. We'll face the winner of Penn State and Michigan, the 11-14 matchup. That's the late game on Thursday night, about a 9 Eastern start. And then if Indiana wins, obviously, they beat Michigan on the road early in the year to start 2-0 in Big Ten play in a close game. We didn't know Michigan was really going to be atrocious this year, but it was a road win. Indiana kind of – it was their first true road win of the year. But then, obviously, Penn State's the other team who Indiana went 0-2 against this year, but obviously the Hoosiers will get rest. Then if you win, you face Nebraska, a team that Indiana also 0-2 against. But as we say, it's tough to beat a good team three times in a row, and the Hoosiers are probably the hottest team in the Big Ten, one of the hotter teams in Power 5, you have to imagine. But then it's Nebraska, and then most likely it would be Illinois in that semifinal. So, you know, right now we're at the point, Ben, where no one wants to play Indiana, but then yet again, we've seen that the negatives of the Hoosiers to where they've gotten beaten up pretty badly by some teams that they really shouldn't have been. You mentioned those games. You can't forget. They nearly lost to Morehead State on their own home floor this year. They should have lost by one, but Morehead State made the NCAA tournament. So now Indiana is most likely going to have three wins going into the postseason against NCAA tournament teams, with Wisconsin and Michigan State being the other two. We don't know about the other teams that Indiana's beaten, if they're on the bubble or not. Regardless, I don't think it's a terrible path. We said this last year. I think it's kind of the same thing. You play in that late game. So then if you get to the semis, it would be a quick turnaround. So two straight late games for Indiana. But I don't hate Indiana's chances whatsoever. I don't think Penn State's really a terrible matchup, especially on a neutral floor. And then Nebraska, I don't think it's the same on a neutral floor either. Indiana, it was competitive for a little bit against Nebraska. They were down by a ton, but then came back. But I'm curious, what are your thoughts in the path for Indiana as they hope to get to a Sunday championship, which would most likely be against Purdue?
I've tried to think about this a lot. I tried to play out the different scenarios in my head before the bracket was kind of finalized. I feel really indifferent about it. I just think this year with the Big Ten, I think it's Purdue, then Illinois, then I just think it's everybody else. You can look at go matchup to matchup, but I think Indiana's had such a weird season where it's hard to even tell when you go into matchups, like what works for Indiana. I think there have been a drastic change in what has worked for Indiana. I think Mike Woodson's done a good job adjusting it, at least in the last couple of weeks. And I think the same goes the other way around. I understand the sentiment that nobody really wants to play Indiana right now, but the way the teams that Indiana has beaten are playing right now in the last couple of weeks, I'm not completely bought into the fact that I think Indiana's looking like one of the hottest teams in the country right now. Minnesota has looked bad recently. Michigan State. I was never a real believer in them, and you got them at home. Wisconsin has not been playing well recently. And then Rutgers is Rutgers. I'm not completely bought into all that right now, but it's still not to say that I'm not completely bought into any of the other teams in the Big Ten that aren't named Purdue and Illinois. I feel really indifferent. I'm not happy nor mad about the draw that they've got. I think the problem with the Nebraska game is it's not really decided by Indiana. I think it's decided by Nebraska. I think if Nebraska comes out the way they've shot both times against Indiana, the way they've shot a good amount of times this year, I just don't think there's much Indiana could do. But I think Nebraska can absolutely shoot themselves out of the game, and Indiana can just play solid for 40 minutes and have a real chance at winning that game. Not worried about Penn State. And then after that, you kind of get there when you get there. I think that Nebraska matchup's interesting, though. And like I said, I just don't think Indiana controls it that much.
And Wright also said that everyone on the bottom half thinks they can get to the semifinals, which I find pretty funny, considering Illinois and Nebraska are the teams kind of sitting at the bottom there, kind of waiting and licking their chops. Nebraska is the three seed, so waiting at Indiana. It's like Indiana's got a great streak going, but you know, we've seen this team at times. They've come out really flat in more games than they really should. And that's what worries me, especially you're going to most likely have to win 4 games in 4 days. There's no doubt about it. And with this team, I just don't trust us necessarily there. And I think we've seen that in years past, these quick turnarounds really just have not gone well for Indiana. They'll win a big game and then they'll come back and have a stinker. I mean, we saw that, you know, Kansas, they play so well. They come back, 48 hours later and damn near lose to Morehead State on your own home floor. So I just don't see that. I don't see Indiana going as far as people hope. So I guess prediction time, Ben. Give me who Indiana's going to play on Thursday. Give me a score and where do the Hoosiers end up, and heck, who wins the tournament?
Interesting game tonight between Penn State and Michigan. I think Michigan's just totally checked out right now. I think they aren't real happy with their coach. The coach situation's been weird. I'll keep it simple. I think Penn State wins that game. I think they have a little more to play for. You're under your first-year head coach, and things have struggled because it's a first-year head coach, but you have the talent, and you've started to figure that out late in the season. I think these Big Ten tournaments can be good for teams like that. I think Penn State wins that. Did you ask me who I think wins the next game?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an Indiana podcast, Ben, not Penn State.
Well, I was just—I don't know. I kind of zoned out at the end of your question. I think Indiana takes down Penn State. I think it's tough that.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You get the whole, it's hard to beat a team three times, which it is. I don't know how much I actually buy into that, but I think especially when it's a team like Penn State, I guess a team like Indiana who's playing well right now. So I think Indiana gets it done against Penn State in the next one. I think it's going to take a lot for Indiana to beat Nebraska if they do beat Penn State play Nebraska on Friday. I just don't see it happening.
I mean, the big thing that I'm concerned about, we've seen Khalil Ware at times this year get really tired, and we've seen that with his free throws. I mean, he was 1 for 6 on Sunday. I just worry that his fatigue, as much as he has grown this year, and he's fantastic. And I was having this conversation with someone the other day that, you know, potentially he could be better in the NBA than someone like Zach Edey, just because I think he's a little bit maybe more athletic. Obviously, he's lanky. If he puts on a little bit more weight and puts on some muscle, I think he could be much better. But he's got the outside shot. Regardless, we've seen his fatigue this year check really come in at times on defense, guarding the pick and roll, offensively at times, maybe firing some lazy shots. I think that's the biggest thing. And Rank Mass is a really, really tough big man to guard. And I think if Indiana does get past Penn State, which I think they do, there's too much momentum for them to lose for a third time this year to Penn State. Indiana's only beaten Penn State once in the Mike Woodson era. They started 1-0 and have lost every game since then, which is, I don't know, kind of despicable, in my opinion, of all the teams you should be beating in the Big Ten in basketball, mind you. I think Penn State should be up there. But I think they beat Penn State comfortably, 10 points. I think it's kind of a game like last year against Maryland in the first game Indiana played, where maybe you start a little bit slow, but you figure it out. Hopefully there'll be a little bit, there should be a home court advantage against Penn State of all teams in the Big Ten tournament. And then Nebraska, I just think it'll be too tough. I think Indiana plays it close. I just think down the stretch, Nebraska makes enough plays. The way they kind of tore up Indiana on their own home floor, in both times, they looked really, really good. And Tominaga gets hot. I mean, it's so tough to guard him because he creates his own space. And there are the shots where you drop your jaw when he drops back and fires up a three and eventually finds the bottom of the net. So I think Indiana wins one game. They lose out to Nebraska, and they finish the season, 19-14, and they would not be in the NCAA tournament. But I guess if Indiana does make any postseason, I think it's fairly obvious they should accept it. If they get an NIT invitation, it's fairly obvious. You know, this is not – you know, North Carolina from last year, where we're too good for the NIT. Look, you know, who knows what the NIT could have helped them last year. Obviously, they're having a great season this year. I just beat Duke in a big game, but who knows? You know, the momentum you can get from the NIT. We saw a little bit last year with Wisconsin and the way it translated into this season. So I think it's fairly obvious, Ben, that Indiana should accept an NIT, but obviously we're not hoping for that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things you and I have agreed on. And I think I know a lot of Indiana fans out there that disagree. I've never understood the other side of the argument, really. I get like, you want to get the guys healthy and just end the season. But the NIT, you're still playing decent teams and you're still getting more experience of younger guys playing together, which I think is just invaluable at this point in their careers, especially with how early they are on the careers. I think the NIT can be really beneficial no matter how many games they play, but I definitely do think they should accept it.
Obviously, the NIT is completely different this year to where those, you know, one seeds in the conference tournaments for the mid-majors that lose aren't guaranteed a spot. So obviously the committee is going to favor some more, you know, top teams, more Power Five teams, assuming they accept. So obviously that makes it even maybe more of an incentive to go and accept the bid. Because then maybe you're playing against teams, who knows, you'll see down the line next year. So I think that's another reason for Indiana to accept. I don't know what the NIT bracketology looks like right now, but last time I saw Indiana was like one of the teams on the NIT bubble, go figure. But they kind of gave Indiana the benefit of the doubt and put them in. Actually, they have right now in the update, we're recording this on Monday night, they just updated it today. Indiana will be playing on the road against Butler, of all teams, at Hinkle Fieldhouse in the first round of the NIT. So that would make things interesting if that were the case. But I think it's pretty obvious that if Indiana does win a few games, obviously, same with the NCAA tournament, the committee would give Indiana you know, the benefit of the doubt. And hey, I wouldn't mind going to Hinkle Fieldhouse. I've never been there before to watch Indiana and Butler in the NIT. I'm sure some of our friends who are Butler fans would be caught between a rock and a hard place on who to root for.
Yeah, I think Indiana's done enough at this point to kind of solidify themselves in the NIT, especially because I'm not 100% sure, but I think the NIT still has the rule where if you're under 500, that you're not getting a bid. I think there are teams that are higher than Indiana in the net, and when you look at resumes who might be under 500, that I think Indiana will get that advantage of just because the NIT won't accept those under 500 teams. Those kind of games, I know it can be frustrating for Indiana, but they can be fun sometimes. I don't know. You might see some really cool plays by your favorite players. You might see Khalil Ware for the last time in an Indiana uniform, Xavier Johnson play for the last time for Indiana. I'm not against it. I'm not a huge fan of it. I'm not going to, go pregame tailgate a Indiana NIT game and go crazy for it. But, no, I definitely think it's something Indiana should take.
Well, it'll be interesting. Indiana – the hope is to play some sort of postseason basketball. Obviously, the big hope would be the NCAA tournament, but there's momentum going forward. And Mike Woodson, obviously, it was a rough, you know, kind of 48 hours for him. People weren't happy with the news he was coming back, and he obviously kind of shut people up and say, "I'm the coach here. You fans got to kind of chill the hell out." That's what Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway said as well. So it feels like the fan base is back behind this team. The win against Michigan State really helps some things out. Let's not talk about the CBI, but it seems like one way or another, Indiana is going to be playing some sort of postseason basketball, which about 3 weeks ago, I think we would have said we were all crazy if that were to happen. So the four-game winning streak has definitely changed the culture of the locker room for the better. But now it all gears up. All the eggs are in the Big Ten tournament basket. Indiana will get started tomorrow night. Good old 9 p.m. tip. So these late games continue for Indiana basketball. The winner of Penn State and Michigan, which you can watch tonight on Peacock, of all places. So, the Peacock games have not gone away. So if you want to get a little bit of head start on scouting for the Indiana second round game, then tune into Peacock tonight. But Ben, you know, it's been a fantastic year doing this with you. And let's hope that Indiana kind of put their best foot forward and surprise us again for the second time in 3 years with a nice Big Ten tournament run.
Yeah, hopefully we're doing one of these for an NCAA tournament coming up. I'm sure we'll call something. I don't know. We might do something if they make the championship or something like that. I know you'll be in Florida. I think I might pull something out if you're unable. But maybe we're doing one for an NIT preview. I don't know. But whatever it is, the content will be there.
Maybe we're on site for an NIT game. Who the heck knows? Maybe we go to Hinkle Fieldhouse and go to a historic site in Indiana.
Not a bad drive.
It's not that bad, so who knows? But the hope is Indiana is playing in the NCAA tournament just about a week from now on Selection Sunday. It's the best time of the year, and the Hoosiers are playing their best basketball, which is the most important thing going forward. But in this final regular season episode alongside Ben Holler, I am Austin Platt. Indiana begins Big Ten tournament play tomorrow night against either Penn State or Michigan. We'll see how far the Hoosiers can go. But signing off here on the House of Hoosier, we will talk to you next week.